Guys, I work in mental health. Most of us suffer with mental health as well. Well, see, to me, that's not
everybody does.
Well, but that's I want to go to a drug counselor who has done drugs.
Correct.
You know, just like anything else. I mean,
you can't relate to me if you don't know what I.
If you don't have the experience,
exactly.
So that makes complete sense. Guys, I'm a stripper. I have daddy issues, and I really, 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 really like cocaine.
Okay.
Whoa.
Wow. All right. Nailed it.
Yeah. So do salespeople. Banking. And this is how it works. If you're in banking, as a female, it very well does help you to be very attractive.
Yes.
So much so outside of the front office. So if you're out and about and you're trying to pick up new clients and everything else. Visual discrimination is alive and well on the selling side of banking.
And always, I think in any profession, you can think it's right or wrong, but the fact it exists absolutely. Like any restaurant I worked in, any restaurants for sure, anyone that was a host or hostess, they were never ugly. Plenty of ugly cooks, myself included. Wait staff, generally pretty good looking, but the first person you saw generally was the best looking person who was getting paid by that restaurant. And it was understood because, you know, hey, man, it's a 25-minute wait. You might not want to, but, you know, you might make a different decision. Like, but I can just sit here and kind of look at you like, all right, yep. Done, you know.
Guys, I've worked retail my entire life. All my Fs leave my body when I clock into work. I have that's one thing I've never done is worked a retail job. Other than, I've worked at Burger King, but I was in the back of the house.
Right.
So that doesn't really count.
But dealing with, like, actual customers.
Yeah.
Mingling like, you know, among the people
Ted,
spending
you're a bartender.
Money.
I mean, you've
done. Yeah, I've never worked in, like, a department store or something. God, I sound old.
Department store.
Department store.
I worked in a Macy's.
I worked at the window at a drive-thru joint. And working with people sucks.
Would you have preferred to be in the back?
Yes.
Now, why did they put you on the window? Is it because you generally come off as a nice guy? That's where you go wrong. Because if I'm doing the hiring and you three guys walk in, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put Mike on the window. I would regret that because I think, Ted, you should be the guy at the window. Yeah. But I would have put Mike on the window
Ted's
because of the way you.
With anybody up
there. I know. Yeah.
But if Ted's on the window, it's going to be a huge line.
But in a job interview, everybody plays themselves different, right? So Ted is not going to be as gregarious as we know him to be. You're going to say all the right stuff,
yeah.
Right? You sit down and you lie to each other. That's your job interview. But Mike, you present well. So I'd be like, oh. No question.
What about the window?
That's the guy putting in the window, right?
And that was,
very cordial.
That was part of it. I'm sure there was also a bit of a language barrier that created a difference there. But it's...
What language were you speaking?
English. Damn it, Ted. Make me say it out loud.
Yeah, but Ted's going to ask everybody about their order. Like when the order's coming in.
Oh, man.
He's going to comment on
it. I just be like, hey,
oh, man,
I like what you did here, man.
Yeah, exactly.
We got 20-piece in here.
You're just missing the sauce. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Can I recommend?
Exactly.
I wouldn't be as mean as the Subway guy, but I would have suggestions.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind if he gave suggestions.
Great order, man. A+.
Right. Subway guy, he did not give suggestions. He questioned everything. He said, can I get cheddar cheese? Really? You're going to put cheddar with that? Like, Jesus, I'm not getting it for you, man. Mm-hmm. And this was every single time you went in. Even if it was something you didn't alter what they had on the menu, right? So say just the tuna sub. I'll get the tuna sub. Really? You want the tuna?
The thing about working the counter is, you know, you guys had an experience being out in Baltimore, being out on the east side, and then when you came over here, it was a bit of a culture shock when you went into whatever spot that you went to. You thought that they were filming a commercial.
The woman literally said, and I've only seen this in commercials, I went into McDonald's, it was downtown, which typically is your worst one, and she looked me in the eye, and she said, good morning, welcome to McDonald's, what would you like? And it gave me pause, because in Baltimore, you're rolling, all right, inbound, what you want?
Right.
Like, that's how it went.
Right. Now, I did that hoping that that would lead to a good interaction.
With the good morning, welcome to...
Correct. It didn't. But I also heard about y'all's interactions on the east side. It makes sense because those are the things I wanted to say to those people.
Why
the hell have you been sitting? There's two screens in this drive-thru. There's one that when there's a big lineup, you're waiting right in front of that menu so you can have a gander at it
right. And
see what's going on over there while you're waiting to make your order. Then you get up there. Where's traffic? There's a line wrapped around the doggone building. So you've been in here for at least 15 minutes waiting to get up here to say what you want.
Every time
you got there. Like, have you not been looking at it? I'm going to rip off, I forget which comedian said it. It's like, the menu hasn't changed in 10 years.
I think Sinbad put it well once. He said, man, when you go to McDonald's, you already know why you're there.
Correct.
It's like, when you get up there and you're like, can I get, it's like, bro, you went to, why did you come here? Get the two freaking cheeseburgers, a large fry, and the chocolate shake that you want. See, you know what you want.
Well, Mike, with your other gig, being an auctioneer. Now, I'm not talking about when you're doing like the car stuff, the auto stuff in the morning and all that stuff. But when you're
Is there a stereotype of the auctioneer?
I've got one. I've probably been, since I've been here, to more auctions than I've been in my life. And I used to work at a car auction.
Okay.
But these are all charitable auctions that happen in the evening.
Yeah.
The only goal of an auctioneer is...
to hear their own voice.
No. To get you as drunk as humanly possible in the 2.5 hours that you are sitting in this ballroom. They have one job, which is to get you hammered.
Yeah.
And the reason that they have this job is because, hopefully, in this state of mind, you're going to donate and spend more money on items.
Well, sure.
Absolutely.
And, well, that's the whole game. So, like,
it's the Vegas theory. Hey, another free drink. You're spending... another free drink.
Right, but your job is to get people hammered. And I know that because
I encourage the chairs of the auction to have a well-stocked bar and to make the drinks as cheap as possible. Yes.
But I think there's two different auctioneers, though. You do it professionally.
Yes, sir.
Right? So there's a guaranteed job that you have to do, and there's an expectation. So even if you're plying them with booze, it plays into what your job is.
Absolutely.
You go to these auctions for like the kids' schools or stuff like that. Rarely do they actually hire an actual auctioneer, right? Like,
right.
You're not there.
It's one of the parents.
It's not really one of the parents. It's just somebody that somebody knows who has a big personality, right? Because they're not rattling off numbers at the speed. They don't have to know the Betty Butter about it, right? None of that. It's a slower thing. And what I realize, and it drives me crazy, and I say this to my wife, I'm like, I hate this because they're just talking to hear themselves talk.
Yes.
You're moving items along.
Correct.
Right? They're not.
Yeah.
They are not. Yeah. They're talking, but man, oh man, nothing's happening.
Contrary to popular belief, I want to be done.
Yeah.
I have fun in doing this, but I really would like to just go home and take my pants off.
You guys are going to love Deborah. No, we don't love Deborah.
No.
I don't care how big a personality is.
These guys do not want to be done. And I don't want to say who it was, but they hired a couple of years ago a well-known local TV personality. I know you have worked with this individual.
I've heard of this individual.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They were so proud of who they were. But I'm kind of like, hey, dude, when do we start bidding?
That's
not trying to be a D, but it's like, let's get to it, brother. It ain't about you. Shut up.
That's the reaction I hear about that one.
Yep.
Guys, I'm a teacher, and I guarantee you after you leave my class, the next time you see me, we'll be in a bar.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And it's funny, a lot of the teachers, I don't want to say what school, but there's certain bars we won't go to that are in close proximity to the school.
Sure.
So every once in a while, there's a big annual event, and then the teachers will go out with the parents, and we have a good time. And like, man, you guys ever come in there? They're like, no. We're like, it's right around the corner from the school. And they go, that's why.
Because we know, well, look, I grew up in a small town.
We can't get drunk and talk S about your snot-nosed kids when you're in the bar. So we go to a place further out. I'm like, you know what? That's fair.
But in all honesty, man, like growing up in a small town or a smaller town, you really don't see your teachers that much after you're done. But then as you get to drinking age and you're able to go into all the bars that you can get
you're
into.
You're very social.
Instead of, well, you have drinks with your teachers. That's the next time you see them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're an adult now. They're an adult now. They're happy to see you. You're happy to see them. But man, I mean, almost all of my teachers, I mean, and sometimes in two or three groups from the same school.
Oh, yeah.
I will see these same ladies, same guys drinking it. And I can tell you what bars to go to find them because I know which ones they go to. But it was always a fun time hanging out as an adult. It was like a different, you know, different social dynamic.
It is because as a kid, your teachers, they're just nerds, man. They have no social life. And then when you get older, like, they're out five
But you would never see
week.
Them in the grocery store. You're not going to see them just in any other environment. That's the weird thing. I never ran into a random teacher like at a football game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Doing something else.
It is the bar.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's weird running into anybody outside the environment. You only know them.
Sure.
Right? Like, for instance, like where we were Monday. Like, I ran into her at the grocery store, the owner.
Oh, yeah?
And it just took me a second. And I was like, oh, hey. Then I'm like, well, I've never seen you not behind a bar.
Yeah, you know, I've never seen, I've known her for like 20 years. I've never not seen her at the bar.
Yeah, and it was just weird. She's just as nice in person. It was just weird. It was just, of course she lives in the neighborhood. She's on that bar forever. I'm like, you come to this grocery store?
Yes, it's close then.
Wait, you buy food too?
Yeah, like you
How
eat.
About that? Guys, I'm a front desk manager for a hotel. If you're rude or expectant, we will put you in a room that we think you won't like that sucks. Hopefully the worst one in the entire hotel.
Yeah.
The opposite is also true. Be nice. We can work all sorts of magic to make your stay a whole lot better. So please do not be mean to hotel workers.
Mm-hmm.
We have the keys to where you sleep. Keep that in mind.
I know when traveling, it sucks, but I had a flight get canceled and this and that. So I had to connection, whatever. Just be nice to people.
Yes.
I ran up to the kiosk, and the lady's like, I've got to go. What? And I go, I just stuck in the middle seat. I just wanted to try to get something else. Sorry. Like, I'm just a big... And she's like, oh, hang on. All right, here.
Yep. Boom. And,
yeah. Yep. Like, all right, cool.
Bartender, yes, I will have sex with your female if I can.
All right. Oh.
yeah, we know.
I blow glass. We all smoke weed nonstop. That's all we do. If you blow glass, you smoke weed.
Dad. Behave yourself.
Samuel Jackson's like, check out my movie.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, David LaBrava, right, from Sense of Anarchy, we talked to him. He comes up here all the time to go to a glass-blowing shop. And then, I mean, they're unabashed about how much weed they smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Work in an animal hospital, crazy cat ladies are actually crazy cat ladies.
Yes, they are.
A psychologist, your therapist is most likely crazier than you are. Keep that in mind. A mechanic here, yes, every third word is either F, S, ass, D, mother, C, or any variation combo of these words. And yes, we talk crap about your car when you leave and you. And I work in HR. We're all completely gossiping bitches.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Of course.
We know.
So our question, sex, race, religion, or occupation, what do you do that perfectly fits your stereotype? 206-803-ROCK.